You and the quiet black-headed kid were the ones who killed that Soch? Yeah, I said, pretending to be proud of it. Then I thought of Cherry and Randy and got a sick feeling in my stomach. Good going, kid. Curly always said you were a good kid. Curly's in the reformatory for the next 6 months. Tim grinned ruefully, probably thinking of his roughneck, hard-headed brother. He got caught breaking into a liquor store, the little... He went on to call Curly every unprintable name under the sun. In Tim's way of thinking, terms of affection. I surveyed the scene with pride. I was the youngest one there. Even Curly, if he had been there, had turned 15, so he was older than me. I could tell Derry realized this too, and although he was proud, I also knew he was worried. Shoot, I thought, I'll fight so good this time he won't ever worry about me again. I'll show him that someone besides Soda Pop can use his head. One of the Brumley guys waved me over. We mostly stuck with our own outfits, so I was a little leery of going over to him, but I shrugged. He asked to borrow a weed, then lit up. That big guy with y'all, you know him pretty well? I ought to. He's my brother, I said. I couldn't honestly say yes. I knew Derry as well as he knew me, and that isn't saying a whole lot. No kidding. I got a feeling he's going to be asked to start the fireworks around here. He a pretty good bopper? He meant rumbler. Those Brumley boys have weird vocabularies. I doubt if half of them can read a newspaper or spell much more than their names, and it comes out in their speech. I mean, you take a guy that calls a rumble bop action, and you can tell he isn't real educated. Yep, I said. But why him? He shrugged. Why anybody else? I looked our outfits over. Most greasers don't have real tough builds or anything. They're mostly lean and kind of panther-looking in a slouchy way. This is partly because they don't eat much, and partly because they're slouchy. Derry looked like he could whip anyone there. I think most of the guys were nervous because of the no-weapons rule. I didn't know about the Brumley boys, but I knew Shepherd's gang were used to fighting with anything they could get their hands on. Bicycle chains, blades, pop bottles, pieces of pipe, pool sticks, or sometimes even heaters. I mean, guns. I have a kind of lousy vocabulary, too, even if I am educated. Our gang never went in for weapons. We're just not that rough. The only weapons we ever used were knives, and shoot, we carried them mostly just for looks. Like Two-Bit with his black-handled switch. None of us had ever really hurt anybody, or wanted to. Just Johnny. And he hadn't wanted to.
Hey, Curtis,
Tim yelled. I jumped.
Which one?
I heard Soda yell back.
The big one. Come on over here.
The guy from Brumley looked at me.
What did I tell you?
I watched Derry going toward Tim and the leader of the Brumley boys. He shouldn't be here, I thought suddenly. I shouldn't be here, and Steve shouldn't be here, and Soda shouldn't be here, and Two-Bit shouldn't be here. We're greasers, but not hoods, and we don't belong with this bunch of future convicts. We could end up like them, I thought. We could. And the thought didn't help my headache. I went back to stand with Soda and Steve and Two-Bit then, because the Soches were arriving. Right on time. They came in 4 carloads and filed out silently. I counted 22 of them. There were 20 of us, so I figured the odds were as even as we could get them. Derry always likes to take on 2 at a time anyway. They looked like they were all cut from the same piece of cloth. Clean-shaven with semi-beetle haircuts, wearing striped or checkered shirts with light red or tan-colored jackets or Madras ski jackets. They could just as easily have been going to the movies as to a rumble. That's why people don't ever think to blame the Soches and are always ready to jump on us. We look hoody, and they look decent. It could be just the other way around. Half of the hoods I know are pretty decent guys underneath all that grease. And from what I've heard, a lot of Soches are just cold-blooded mean. But people usually go by looks. They lined up silently, facing us, and we lined up facing them. I looked for Randy, but didn't see him.
I hoped he wasn't there. A guy with a Madras shirt stepped up.
Let's get the rules straight. Nothing but our fists, and the first to run, lose, right?
Tim flipped away his beer can.
You savvy real good.
There was an uneasy silence. Who was going to start it? Darry solved the problem. He stepped forward under the circle of light made by the street lamp. For a minute, everything looked unreal, like a scene out of a J.D. movie or something. Then Darry said,
I'll take on anyone.
He stood there, tall, broad-shouldered, his muscles taut under his T-shirt, and his eyes glittering like ice. For a second, it looked like there wasn't anyone brave enough to take him on. Then there was a slight stir in the faceless mob of Socius, and a husky blonde guy stepped forward. He looked at Darry and said quietly, Hello, Darryl. Something flickered behind Darry's eyes, and then they were ice again.
Hello, Paul.
I heard Soda give a kind of squeak, and I realized that the blonde was Paul Holden. He had been the best halfback on Darry's football team at high school, and he and Darry used to buddy it around all the time. He must be a junior in college by now, I thought. He was looking at Darry with an expression I couldn't quite place, but disliked. Contempt? Pity? Hate? All three? Why? Because Darry was standing there representing all of us, and maybe Paul felt only contempt and pity and hate for greasers? Darry hadn't moved a muscle or changed expression, but you could see he hated Paul now. It wasn't only jealousy. Darry had a right to be jealous. He was ashamed to be on our side, ashamed to be seen with the Brumley boys, Shepherd's gang, maybe even us. Nobody realized it but me and Soda. It didn't matter to anyone but me and Soda. That's stupid, I thought swiftly. They've both come here to fight, and they're both supposed to be smarter than that. What difference does the side make? Then Paul said, I'll take you. And something like a smile crossed Darry's face. I knew Darry had thought he could take Paul any time, but that was 2 or 3 years ago. What if Paul was better now? I swallowed. Neither one of my brothers had ever been beaten in a fight, but I wasn't exactly itching for someone to break the record. They moved in a circle under the light, counterclockwise, eyeing each other, sizing each other up, maybe remembering old faults and wondering if they were still there. The rest of us waited with mounting tension. I was reminded of Jack London's books, you know, where the wolf pack waits in silence for one of two members to go down in a fight. But it was different here. The moment either one swung a punch, the rumble would be on. The silence grew heavier, and I could hear the harsh, heavy breathing of the boys around me. Still, Darry and the Soche walked slowly in a circle. Even I could feel their hatred. They used to be buddies, I thought. They used to be friends, and now they hate each other because one has to work for a living, and the other comes from the West Side. They shouldn't hate each other.